Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious, loving Father, to know with all certainty that thou art here, for you came down with a shout, which is a military command, a kalusma, a message going forth to gather your people. And we know that you do three things, Father, in your descent. Having done the first, Lord, we're waiting upon you for the second, which is the voice of the resurrection, and then the trump of God to catch us away to that wedding supper in the sky. And yet, Father, all around us we see this nation and the world's economies are falling apart. As Brother Branham said, the political structures falling apart. And churches falling apart. People's lives falling apart. The world is in birth pains, waiting for the elect to be taken out before the entire destruction of what is now known as this earth takes place. And then one day we'll come out upon the ashes of the wicked to spend an eternity together with thee, Father, and with your Son, Jesus. What a glorious time. So, Father, we're looking forward to that great time that we together, your elect, those that were in you before the foundations of the world, those that had representation, come forth in your image. And we know, Father, that you're here. Your message, the shout, is gathering us to that image, gathering us to your word, for you are the word. And, Lord, we just pray that that is what we might reflect in our bodies, through our bodies, Lord, knowing that the inner man, he's being renewed daily as this outer man is perishing. So, Father, we pray that you'd watch over our tongue today. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have a better understanding of the conditions of this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we spoke on the voice of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and the week before that on the shout. Now, this morning I would like to continue our study of Brother Ram's sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. This is number 50 in our series, and we're going to pick up again at paragraph 35, where Brother Branham said, Jesus said the Scriptures must be fulfilled. That is, that all that's written in the Scriptures. Now, bear this in mind, because you who are getting the tape now, at the end of these tapes, you'll find that I come back to that again. That all that's in the Scripture must be fulfilled. Now, let that soak in just for a minute, see? All that's in the Scriptures has got to be fulfilled. Then if God said anything, there you are. It's got to be fulfilled. Or if it isn't, that's not the Word of God. Then if that isn't the Word of God, then where are we at? Let's get something that looks like God or anything we want to do. As the Bible said, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And you see, that's the condition of the church today, the church universal, not the bride of Christ. But the church, you know, she grabs anything she thinks might look like God so that she sets Satan up there as God in the temple of God, worshiping him, and she doesn't realize that she's committing blasphemy against God. Now notice he said, all that God spoke must be fulfilled. If we could just hammer that into our little minds every day, everything God said in this word about us, about what's coming down the pike, those visions that God gave Brother Branham, they're all going to come to pass. They're all going to be fulfilled. Not all that you speak, not all that I speak, or not all that anyone else speaks. You know, you can't trust the politicians. They're all telling you tax breaks, and yet look at their voting record. But a vindicated prophet in this hour said all that God speaks must be fulfilled. Now remember, part one of our study concerned the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 to 18, which shout, Brother Branham taught us, is the message. Part two of our mini-series, we spoke on the voice, and we find that concerning the voice, there is more speculation than any other end-time doctrine because men will not say what the prophet said. They seem to feel it necessary to add their own thoughts to what he said. And even those who do not believe in a fivefold ministry, and they say, believe only what's on the tape, say only what's on the tape, they're the worst offenders because they do not say what Brother Branham said, but they read into it and they produce their own fictions concerning the voice. There's people in this message saying that the voice will be in the bride, and the bride will speak, and the resurrection will take place. Show me one verse of scripture for it. Show me even one quote from the prophet for it. Well, they say, the voice will be in Brother Branham, and Brother Branham will come back, and he'll speak, and the resurrection will take place. Show me one scripture for it. Show me one quote for it. Well, they say, there's a question. Somebody said, Brother Branham, could it be possible that you could speak the word and we'd get the change of the body? He said, well, that's a nice thought. He said, that's a nice thought, but he said, that's not how it works. He said, you see, those things that God gave me, those are sovereignly given. I don't tell God what to do. God tells me what to do. You see? So these people trying to say, well, God's got to make Brother Branham come back, and Brother Branham's the one that's got to speak and make the resurrection take place. I don't think that's the way it works. God is the resurrection. God raised Jesus, the Son of God, from the dead. The same God will raise up William Branham. From 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, it says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. That's the problem. Too many people are ignorant concerning the things of the Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, who are them that are asleep? William Branham is one that's asleep. And people are ignorant concerning his position. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with himself. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them, shall not, as Brother Branham said, shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the message. With the voice of the archangel, that's the resurrection. And with the trump of God, that's the catching away. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, after the dead in Christ have risen, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now these words are very clear. Paul says that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now we know what that shout is because we have a vindicated prophet that told us what that shout is. In the rapture sermon, he told us that it is the message. We see here in these verses that Paul is speaking of the presence of the Lord coming down and doing three major things. A shout, number one, which is a message. The voice, which is the resurrection. And then the trump, or the trumpet, which is the calling to the marriage supper. Therefore, we are looking at the parousia ministry of the Holy Spirit doing three things. From the rapture message, Brother Brown said, a shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3 and 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth first until he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. From the rapture also, he said, he ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing come down, when he starts descending from the heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. Watch. Excuse me. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. They did. Some of them found they didn't even have oil in their lamp. See? But it's lamp trimming time. What's lamp trimming? Psalm 110 says that the word of God is a light unto our path. All right? If it's a light, it's a lamp. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a lamp under our feet. It's a light under our path. It's a lamp. The word of God is a lamp. If it's lamp trimming time, it means get your Bibles out and start combing. Start trimming. Start going through. You see? It's Malachi 4 time. It's Luke 17. It's Isaiah. It's all these prophecies that can be perfectly set in order for this day in the scripture. We see it's living right there. Oh my. Okay, then we say that. Then we can say with our prophet that the shout is the message. Then, as we examined last week, Brother Branham taught us that the voice is the resurrection. And he taught us that it is the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave after 4 days laying there, dying, dead, and stinking and decomposing. Now, this voice is the resurrection. That's what Brother Branham taught us in his sermon, The Rapture. The voice is the resurrection. That is what he said, Rapture, paragraph 88. He said, the first thing is a shout, and then a voice, and then a trump. A shout, message, getting the people ready. The second is the voice of the resurrection. The same voice. That loud voice in St. John 11, 34, or 38 and 44 that called Lazarus from the grave. Getting the bride together. And then the resurrection of the dead. See? To be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. So those people that say that the voice is in the bride, it's not. It's the voice of God. She is not God. Well, they say that'll be in Brother Branham. Brother Branham is not God. Brother Branham is not the resurrection. He never claimed to be the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So it'll be the voice of God that was in Jesus. Because when Jesus, the man, the son, when he went to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible says he wept. Brother Branham said that was the man. But when he put back those shoved back those stooped shoulders, Brother Branham said, and when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said that was more than a man. He said that was God that was indwelling his son. So it's the voice of God that'll raise the dead. Paul said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body. So there's basically two things that will occur at the time of the resurrection. Number one, the world will go into tribulation. And the foolish virgin will be hunted down and slaughtered. And all who do not take the mark of the beast will suffer a great boycott and will not be able to buy or sell. They won't even have jobs. But number two, the other thing that takes place at the time of the resurrection is that there will be a resurrection and a change of the bodies of the living for the elected of God. Now we looked at the last this fact last week at the resurrection, and it's not something that just takes place in a moment or twinkling of an eye. That's the body change that does that. The resurrection will consist of a period of time more or less extended, during which time the sleeping saints are resurrected and are seen by the living saints, and then a body change takes place for all the saints. Brother Branham said it could be a month or more. Some places he said, I'd like to have that tent for 6 weeks. So we don't know about that, but I do know from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said about the tent. He said, watch the resurrection take place in there. He said, I'd like to have that tent. He said, I'd like to go in between the lines when I get that tent. I'd like to go in between the lines. And he said, watch the resurrection in there. Oh, how beautiful. So I believe it has to do with the time of the resurrection. Now first, the sleeping saints will come up with their celestial bodies, or their theophanies, as Brother Branham states. Secondly, they are seen by the living saints. After being seen by the saints, the living saints receive their celestial body, and together the body terrestrial and the body celestial will make up our glorified body. This will take some time, I believe. Because Brother Branham said it'll be wave after wave, wave after wave, you see. And the last generation to come down or to go down into the grave will be the first one to come up. And the first one to go down, which is Paul's generation, will be the last one to come up. And there'll be wave after wave after wave of each generation coming. Brother Branham talks about when he gets the tent, he said, in the vision, he said there was a little room. He said there was like a canvas kind of cordoning off that. And he said there was a canvas that was so big that it kept people from being able to go around the tent. And he said the lines were going down like a city block long, down and around the corner. He said they were so far I couldn't see them. He said, we'll have healing hour after hour after hour. He said people walked into that. They were brought in by stretchers, walked out pushing their stretchers, their gurneys. People went into that room with missing limbs, came out of the room. They asked him, they said, in the vision, they said, Brother Branham, they just said, Brother Branham. They said, what happened? What took place in there? And they said, I don't know. Just like a sweep, something came over us and just were changed. Whole, made young again. Hallelujah. It's going to be a wonderful time. But it's not to the world. It's not a public show this time. He said, it's not to the totally lost. It's to the elect. It's for the elect. See? Now, secondly, he said they are seen by the living saints. After being seen by the living saints receive their celestial bodies, and together the body terrestrial and the body celestial will make up a glorified body. This will take some time, and he describes it like wave after wave after wave. The last generation going down will be the first one to come up. The first generation to go into the ground will be the last generation to come up. He called that the order of the resurrection, as did the Apostle Paul. From letting off the pressure, Brother Bram said, can't you see that we're at the end? It's all over. The next thing there will be a sweep of getting that little group together, and in a month or so, she'll be gone. As soon as she's gathered together, we're at the end. There's no hope left anywhere. Run to Christ, people. Now, we saw this take place in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. In Matthew 27, verse 45, if you want to follow along. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them stood there when they heard that. They said, this man calls for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the grave after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And we know that Alpha must repeat in Omega, so we shall see the same basic thing take place in this hour. And now the day of Pentecost did not take place until 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. So he was with the saints during that time. And we know very little about that period of time from Scripture, but we know that when Jesus led captivity captive, he took the dead saints up in a rapture. So it was at least 50 days that Jesus was there after the resurrection. From the rapture, Brother Bradham said, paragraph 98, David said over there, lift ye up ye everlasting gates and be lifted up. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. When the Old Testament saints went in with him, they said, who is the King of glory, the Lord of glory, mighty host? Here they come in marching, Jesus led captivity captive, and here he comes with the Old Testament saints and went into the new gates up there, and he said, lift up ye everlasting gates and be lifted up, and let the King of glory come in. The voice come from the inside and said, who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. The gates flew open, and Jesus the conqueror led captivity captive them that had believed on him, and the word had come to them. There the Old Testament saints laying in there, he led captivity captive. He ascended on high, took the Old Testament saints and went in. There's one rapture already passed. The next rapture takes place in 1 Thessalonians 4 for the church, the bride, to be resurrected, to be raptured into glory. Actually, that could be 2 Thessalonians because 2 Thessalonians 2 says that when... just says that we're caught up out of here when the Holy Spirit goes. We which are alive remain, that's the body that's left here on earth, will not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, see, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now next, we saw Brother Branham speak on the condition of the living saints and the saints which are asleep in the graves. In his sermon, Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham reads from the scripture and he says, 2 Thessalonians tells us so. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect. All these types. There's the theophany. If you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. I think it's interesting because, look, they without us cannot be made perfect. If our body then goes to meet the theophany in the air, where do we meet Jesus? In the air. What do we do when the Holy Spirit, who's now with us, brings us up to meet the Son in the air? The Bible tells us that God will incarnate. Brother Bram says that. God will incarnate His Son again. Then we'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because you can't crown a spirit. Well, notice God incarnates His Son in our theophany, or our body celestial incarnates us. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. And from his sermon, Life, Brother Branham says, and when we die from this life, we go into the body, which if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a theophany to go into, a celestial body. Then at the coming of the Lord Jesus, this body is picked up from the earth again and made in a glorified state to live in his presence forever. So notice then, if you are among those who have already died, you enter first into that theophany. Then with that theophany, you come forth to get your redeemed body. If you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. That's what Brother Branham says. Then once that redeemed body is joined to the theophany, it becomes a glorified body. On the other hand, those of us who are among the living will get our body changed and then go to that theophany to complete the glorification process. He said, and if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are and caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Next, we share several quotes from Brother Branham and several scriptures confirming the order of the resurrection as declared to us by both Paul and William Branham. From Jehovah Jireh, number one, Brother Branham said, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence, or raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get up there, we can sing Amazing Grace. That's when there's going to be a time of worship. And from the message, Seven Church Ages, preached in 1954, Brother Branham said, behold, he cometh with clouds. Now let me stop here just a moment. Clouds doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead. His mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, said he's coming on a great big cloud, he's going to raise up someday, and God's going to come on. Now, the cloud that he's coming in is, if we just had the time to get this back and get the real background of the whole thing, now the cloud he's coming in is not a cloud like a thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See? Now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment. See? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up. Not a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There will be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. That blessed Holy Spirit that's lived in their hearts, and they're dried in their corpse laying there, and the pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that, and they're placed back in the graveyard, and a great wave of that same Spirit, and wave after wave. He that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people. The next time my dad and his people, my grandfather and his people, on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave, and the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again. Now notice closely, I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. Well, that must tell us then that they're not dead, right? In fact, there's no place in Scripture where it speaks of the saints dying. It says they sleep. And Lazarus slept, you know. And Stephen, when he was stoned, he slept. Now, from condolences to the Stadsclis family, Brother Branham said, then them which are asleep shall not prevent those which are awake at the coming of the Lord. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You notice the order of the resurrection. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians, I believe about the 5th chapter, shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and notice the next. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. See, we meet them first. Now I know how God in his great mercy, when he'd be worshipped perfectly there, and when he knew that. And he knew that if we got there first to worship him, then we will be looking around, wondering, where is baby at? Where is mother? And where is this one or that one? But you see, he lets us meet one another first. So when you go up to worship before the Lord on that day, she'll be with you. See? We not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And then we meet one another first, and then stand before Him to crown Him the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, what a worship! When I see these precious ones I preached and labored through the years, my loved ones, and meet them all, and then together, hand in hand, stand in His presence, won't we worship Him? I love the way that God is just so loving to us that He allows us to get it out of our system, who's there, and then comes the worship. And listen, a lot more people are going to be there than you think. A lot more are going to be there than you think. From Jehovah Jireh, when we get our big tent up here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. Just beautifully. Just get in love with Him and He will reveal it to you. And then I noticed, you know God, what He did to Abraham and Sarah? I'll tell you what He done. He turned them back to young man and woman again. Oh, you say, Brother Brown, that's ridiculous, but He did it. He turned them back to a young man and a young woman. What do you think is going to happen in that little box, that little room? Hallelujah. All right, now that we've established that the shout is a message and the voice is the resurrection, let me establish one more thing before we go on to examine the last trumpet. Now, notice Brother Branham in the rapture message. He said the voice is the resurrection. And Paul said that the Lord Himself will do three things. It is not an other, but the Lord Himself will do it. And 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now this tells us that those that slept in Jesus will God bring with Him. So you are probably thinking, these that sleep in Jesus will God bring with whom? And the answer is that God will bring them up with Himself when He leaves the midst of humanity. When He takes us up to meet the Son of God in the air, because you see, if it is God that comes down with a shout, not Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, is still on the throne making intercession for our confession. Then when the Holy Spirit, who is now in our midst, that's the parousia presence, when He gathers us together and takes us up, He takes us up from the midst of humanity, then at that time He incarnates again His Son, and at that time we crown Him King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, we go to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. It is God or the Holy Spirit that raises the dead. The same Holy Spirit that is here in the form of the pillar of fire that takes us up with Himself to meet the Son of God in the air. That is why it is so important to understand the Godhead. Because if you do not understand the Godhead, you won't understand the rapture process either. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. From the message, the first seal, Brother Branham said, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, when He becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him King of kings. That's right. See? And why? Because Brother Brown said you can't crown a spirit. Now, if you do not understand what the word incarnate means, it means to be embodied in human form. Therefore, He is talking about God indwelling again the body of His Son. God, the Holy Spirit, who is now in our midst, when He takes us up from the midst of humanity, He once again indwells His Son. He once again comes into the body of His Son, Jesus, and at that time we'll crown Him, and not until that time, because you cannot crown a spirit. We find Paul saying the same thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. He said, "Do you not remember that while I was with you, I kept telling you these things? And now you know with a positive assurance that which namely the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing His being disclosed as to His true identity in His strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only He, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until He goes out from the midst of humanity. And then shall the lawless one be disclosed as to his true identity." And that's from the Weiss translation. So you see that the things that are coming on the earth, you see that Antichrist spirit everywhere. It's in the press, it's everywhere. Politics is full of it. This nation that used to be a nation that looked like a lamb, spoke like a lamb, now speaks like a dragon. You see, the whole thing is just crumbling. But it's being held back to who's doing it until we're caught out of here. Now, we know who's doing it because we have the Word to match it with. And we know it's not the Word of God. But the rest of the world doesn't understand. So we see here that the Scripture speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then, as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us that this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now, the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if He were not here. Right? So there's your presence. And if we are to be gathered together to Him first, then when He goes, we go. For nowhere in the Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leave. So if we are gathered together unto Him first, then it is He that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like He took up Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. From the message Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around and that great circle will be getting greater and greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On His beautiful throne, He'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see Him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love Him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like Him. He'll be more of a relative to us than He is now. Why is that? Because you truly understand His position with the Father. He is your brother, and God is your Father. We'll understand Him better because we're so far away in the mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like His own glorious body. We'll know how to worship Him. And when we see what the presence of His being has done for us, done to us, changed us, the old man back young, all the deformed, straightened out, oh, we'll understand then why His power healed us. The question that's been in our mind, how can He do it? What would this? Somehow, mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of your minds, will it be like this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle and unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. Hallelujah. And from Jehovah Jireh. And then remember, if we go before He comes, we will be up and in His presence or raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord of the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones, and if we got there to meet Him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in His wisdom, we meet one another first, and then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. So there is an order to the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul also speaks of this order of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now notice he uses the word first fruit, which shows that there is an order to the resurrection. Christ first, the first fruit, Christ first, then the rest. Now let's look at the next verse. But every man in his own order. And notice, what is that order? Christ the first fruit. In other words, Christ first, afterward, they that are Christ at His parousia. Now this brings us to the last trump, which Brother Branham said is the literal catching away of the saints to the wedding supper. And from the rapture he said, therefore the message calls the bride together, see, the shout and the trumpet. The same morning with a loud voice he screamed out with the shout and the voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice he cried, Lazarus come forth, see, and the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. And the trumpet, with the sound of the trumpet, and when it does, it calls, always a trumpet calls Israel to the Feast of the Trumpets, see, which was a Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, the Feast of the Trumpets. And now a trumpet denounces a calling together, calling to a feast. Now, that is the Lamb's Supper in the sky. Now watch, the assembling together in the bride, the Feast of the Trumpets, the wedding supper. We've seen it in type. Now watch, just for a moment before we close. and from going beyond the camp, Brother Branham said, all of us know Brother Bill Dow sitting here in the corner. Oh, how thankful we are for all of God's blessings. May it continue to be with us until that last trumpet blows. And you know we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it. Missing people, they can't see you no more. But you're still there. He says, just think of it. Missing people, they can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. Hallelujah. They which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is, those which are asleep. Not dead, no Christians don't die. They just take a little rest, see? That's all. Oh my. And the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once you happen to stand and look, and well, there's a brother. And you know it ain't long, in a few minutes, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and together with them, be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Not people coming out of cars, coming out of buses. He says, we go to meet. We go to meet. You're going to know when that time comes. Don't ask me how. But you're going to know. Now our bodies are getting ready to change because the inner man has listened to the voice of God. And it's the process of changing, because that's what the Apostle Paul said at the last trump. And the last trump is the sounding of Revelation 10:7 under the seals and under the seven great thunders. So our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And this is the last trump, the seventh trump of the seventh church age. And it's also the trump which God sounds to take us up into glory. There's a declaration, the last trump. The last trump is the trump of the seventh church age messenger. So therefore, his declaration is necessary to raise the dead and to change the mortal. Brother Branham said, in quoting Paul, they without us cannot be made perfect. They must have this ministry. How's it going to happen? I don't know. Brother Branham said, when I get that tent, he said, we'll go between the lines. Watch the resurrection in there. Like Brother Vail said, in order for us to get our body changed, he said, maybe there's something Brother Branham's going to say. Maybe there's something that has to give us that faith to receive that body change. But he also, Brother Brown says, when you see the dead saints, your faith is going to elevate to a place it's never been before. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When you start to have your doubts, you go back and read that. He said, we shall be changed. He said, but we all shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And from the breach, Brother Ransom, no matter if he falls asleep in the first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh, wherever he falls asleep, what will happen? The trumpet of God shall sound, the last trump will blast forth the same time that the last angel is giving his message and the last seal is opened. That last trump will sound and the Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possession, his church, his blood washed. You and I are laying in the presence of God. Why? Because there's a seed in us. Remember, he said, we must lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. And the seed is the seed of God. It's the gene of God that Paul spoke of that was in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1. That was ordained for adoption of sons. That's our soul. Now notice it's a grain seed body, because you're looking at resurrection. You, a glorified body, you are not a body. That's just the husk. But you are a grain. Because the life inside is what you are. In the grain is the seed. In your grain is a soul that has been fertilized by God. And Brother Brown said, if any seed is fertilized, all it takes is sun and rain. All right now, the seed of God and the life of God has come upon it, making your soul entirely of God. 1 Corinthians 15:35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Seed. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth the body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Your seed. Whose seed? God's seed. Hallelujah. Notice Paul types our bodies in terms of a grain. Now when the grain goes to the ground like the grave, it dies. The grain body or shell evaporates, it disintegrates. And the life that's in there, called a seed, will bring forth another plant. So that's what you're looking at right there. You are looking for all those who went down and the seed life left the grain. That must happen so the new body can come up. Now we are in a grain, and in this grain is the life that will produce a new body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, a sweep goes over us after the resurrection begins, and we see the sleeping saints, which will come back to this dimension. So you see what we're looking at this morning. You are now in God's thoughts a grain, not a body, though you have a body, but you're looking forward now to the body of the resurrection. And that is formed around the life that is within you by the rain, or the doctrine, and the sun, which is the light of God upon his word. But the constant looking at this word to see the Christ that is to be revealed in this hour, that's what produces it. And when every creed and dogma is gone, and you begin to see what God's prophet taught, and by God's grace, what we are teaching here and understanding here is the same rain, the same sun, then you're coming to the place where you put on that same glorious body that the Son of God put on, because he was changed. He said, "Handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and blood." He didn't say flesh and, a spirit hath not flesh and bone. He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. You will not have blood. You won't need it. 1 Corinthians 15:39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also bodies celestials and bodies terrestrials. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from glory from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And from uncertain sound, Brother Branham said, "We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet shall sound. And those soldiers laying yonder asleep across through the ages, but when the trumpet sounds, though they be dead in sleep, it shall not hinder them, for the trumpet shall sound and awaken them." They're prepared. Listen to this. Those unprepared don't know the sound. When that sound of the coming of the Lord blasts, it'll shake heaven and hell when it blasts. But those who are not in hell, those who are lost, don't know that sound. They don't know what to do. But those, though they be sleeping in Christ, they know that certain sound. Oh, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning break eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather to their homes beyond the sky, when the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there. Put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life today by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it won't be an uncertain sound to you. Those who have missed the shout, you think they'll understand the voice of the resurrection? If they've missed the shout, then they didn't understand the shout, then it's an uncertain sound to them. You think the voice will be a certain sound to them? I don't think so. From Abraham's grace covenant, he said, "What's the next thing for this sign goes away? Before this, what's the next thing after the sign goes away?" God's going to condition Abraham's children. How many of you is Abraham's children? What's the next thing after this sign goes away? God's going to condition Abraham's children, getting ready to receive the promised son. How are we going to receive him? We can't receive him in these bodies. We're going to meet him in the air. Praise God forever. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we'll go to meet him in the air. What's he doing? The last sign before the transfiguration, the last sign before the rapture. For most any time, the atomic bomb's going to destroy the world. Before it screams into the tapes, Jesus is coming. "We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep." dead. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. An old man will be young again. An old woman will be young again. And will be conditioned to meet the promised coming Son. Oh, hallelujah. We will not change God's order. What happens? Just as the angel had his back turned and showed that sign to Abraham, he brought everything down through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, placing of sons, gifts and orders come out, and then showing his last sign before the destruction, and then changed Abraham's seed. It might come before we close the meeting. Old brother kid sitting there, old sister kid, old veterans of the war, watch. In a moment, these will have become young man and women again, changed. Why do we have to be changed? It was totally impossible for that old man to have sexual relationship with his wife. It was totally impossible for her to conceive and bear a child of the supernatural if the supernatural taken place. And the only way it could have been done would be have to be transformation of her body. He had lived with her since he was 18 years old and 16, and his half-sister, he married her young. And she was barren and he was sterilized. You see? And so he had to change their physical being to receive a son. Hallelujah. So before we see the son, we get our change. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we're looking forward to that change of the body. But we know the inner man must be renewed daily. And so we ask, Father, that you would renew us by the washing of water, by the word. Cleanse us, O God, and we shall be cleansed. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, and we shall live forever. For we ask these things. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, prepare us, O God, to go to meet him in the air. Get us ready, O God, to receive the saints which have passed on and will come up. Help our hearts, Lord, to be in a true condition. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.